This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour. Glad to have Lisa Isom with me again today. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Happy Monday to everyone.
Yeah, and for sure. How are things in your part of the world?
You know, it's absolutely wonderful here in Colorado today. It's been beautiful weather over the past few days, and so close to 70-degree weather, so it's been...
Wow.
Yeah, it's been really nice, but been doing some traveling with these conventions. But other than that, it's been wonderful. Very busy. How about there?
We've had a not a really bad stretch of weather here. It's been pretty good, actually. Disappointing for this time of the year because I'm a snow person. But then that's the way it goes. You don't get everything you want in life, or I've been told.
That's true, you don't.
But I know, just so to catch everybody up, most of our listeners know we've been covering a variety of situations with insurance, and as I say every time we start a show like this, every show we have sparks more calls from people being reminded of things they should do or need to do or maybe learn about things they want to hear more about in terms of availability of different types of coverages, so that's a good thing. That's one of the reasons we do this, so people will be reminded of how important insurance is and to learn more about things they may not know about. And I know last time we sort of left off on a couple of things, and we were getting ready to go, and I don't think we made it to the employment practices liability side. I know we were going to do that, but I don't think we got into it in depth, so I want to make sure that we cover that area today, and then if we have some time, maybe we can get over to the cyber liability side, which is just such a strange name to even think about.
It is, and, you know, it actually, becomes stranger and stranger as you get more involved in that unique coverage that we were all vulnerable of, both in business as well as personal. But yes, you know, as you had explained the last time, we kind of finished up discussions about the D&O, and that kind of spurred some questions that has come in after the fact with respect of the directors and officers' liability. But at the end of the day, there's so many things within insurance that that people really don't think of, and it's not something that, unless it's one of those necessary evils, right? So unless you have to have it or required by contract, that's sometimes the only time you even ask or investigate what is that coverage. Employment practices liability is often referred to as EPLI. Just the initials of employment practices liability. But at the end of the day, it's one that's very crucial for a small business in particular, but it's becoming, unfortunately, more needed as our economy changes and life in general changes. And just to kind of give the listeners a little bit of a sneak preview, what is employment practices liability, and why would that not be covered under my liability insurance, right? Or a lot of people will say, well, if it's liability, I'll just carry an umbrella and it covers that, you know, whatever the other stuff doesn't cover, it'll cover it under my umbrella. Well, that's just simply not true. If it's not covered underneath what your umbrella does in the first place, it's not covered under your umbrella typically. You can pick it up in some situations. But employment practices liability, in a nutshell, it covers your risk that's due to some of the, you know, employment-related lawsuits that are developing in today's world. Items such as wrongful termination, discrimination, typically sexual harassment. So those are things that are typically found excluded under your general liability or your professional liability and would be covered under employment practices liability insurance. It is a separate policy, just like your workers' compensation or, say, your professional liability would be for a land surveyor. It is covered under the employment practices liability piece. And as, you know, as we kind of go into the discussions for today, you know, oftentimes, you know, you think, well, if I'm a small firm, you know, I'm not really likely to have a situation that comes up to where I'm going to need this coverage. And actually, the statistics show that employment practices liabilities against employers that have less than 25 employees are more likely to have the coverage, have the need for the coverage than some of the others. That would be a larger firm.
Some of that maybe comes from smaller companies perhaps not focusing on written procedures and that kind of thing?
That's exactly what it is. They basically have indicated, you know, that, number one, the small business, to defend themselves against the employment practices claims, they tend to have fewer resources in pretty much a different overall work environment. I mean, I can speak for myself, you know. To have, you know, a smaller agency, you know, you're going to have a different work environment than you are if you're in a more structured environment. So, you know, one of the things that they from some of the statistics that I've seen and reviewed, you know, you're sitting there, you know, you have a small firm, let's just say less than five people or something. You know, you have a minimum of the staff to do any type of in-house counseling or have a separate human resource department, as an example, whereas the larger firm may have that, or if not have it in-house, they would have a resource to go to. The other side of it is you know, just record-keeping, the extensive record-keeping that others may do to keep track of employee performance overall, not only absenteeism, but, you know, the type of work performance that they are doing, you know, reviews, et cetera. And then, you know, any type of, especially when you have any type of situation to where, one, in the bad economy, you had layoffs, so you may have more of an intimate working environment that could cause, you know, a rift between employees on a layoff side of it. So you hire, you know, you keep this one person, but you don't keep this person. You better have the documentation, you know, to justify that. But now with the economy kind of making a shift and we're adding people or maybe promoting people, the same thing would apply as well. So,
do you think, Lisa, talking about that performance side of things a little bit,
uh-huh.
Having run small businesses and actually NSPS is a small business too when you consider staff, not necessarily in terms of membership and all that, but certainly from a staff perspective, we're small. When you think about doing reviews, everybody hates doing reviews. The people
right.
being reviewed and the people who have to do the reviews.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so you end up not doing it a lot of the time. And so I guess my question is, if that's part of the process, and obviously even if you have insurance, you're probably going to have to show that you've done your due diligence.
Yeah, you know, one of the things with the employment practices, which we'll get into, when you're actually doing your the policy, the application process, it will ask, you know, do you have this, this, and this, and this in place? And naturally, you know, I go back to the, you know, any type of safety manual, you know, employee manual, handbook, it's better probably not to have it in writing than to have it in writing and not follow it. So at the end of the day, I get it. You know, I do get where it's time consuming. You know, you got a small business to run, and all of those things. But at the end of the day, there's things out there. I mean, even within the NSPS program that we have, we have online help to where you do have that small business that may not know even how to put together an employee handbook, that you can provide samples of an employee handbook, and you just modify it to your own office, and then try to follow it, as best as you can. I mean, there's going to be certainly things that you're not going to be doing probably, and that is like physicals, as an example. Not everybody's going to do physicals, but you should have an employment application. You know, you can get things like at a Office Depot, as an example, you know, one of those kits that's put together to say, you know, here's the new hire papers, here's your W-4 or whatever it is, and here's your interview process. These are the questions you should ask, and these are questions you're not supposed to ask or whatever, to where you do have somewhat of a office procedure or a handbook with respects to your hiring practices. And then what to do if you have a termination, how to do that, what do I ask? And I would say most agents, but certainly within our program, and I don't want to just chat about our program, but within the program we do have those capabilities that's free to the NSPS member that's insured with us to provide some of those questions of, you know, how to ask this question to keep you kind of out of harm's way, if you will, of a suit. As we go into 2015 and we look at how employment practices claims have certainly risen, with the worker-friendly environments and the laws that are pertaining to the worker-friendly. And I say worker-friendly because, you know, naturally I'm an employer, and so they are really geared more to the worker rather than it is to the employer. And the only defense that an employer is going to have is to be protected with EPLI. Because in some states, right, wrong, or indifferent, and you're brought into a suit, you actually not only pay for your own defense, but you pay for the employee's defense, whether
maybe
it's
that's
right
a,
or wrong.
That's a good place to stop for our first break. We'll come back and talk about that shortly.
Okay.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. We're having a discussion today with Lisa Isom with Assurance Risk Managers and the NSPS Insurance Program on Employment Practices Liability Insurance. And before we go, I know there's a lot of things to talk about here, Lisa, but three things kind of near the end when we were talking I wanted to focus on a little bit. One was you made a statement that in some cases you're better off not to have a manual if you're not going to follow it. So that might be something good to talk about. I don't think you were encouraging people not to. You were encouraging them to follow. And then you also said, you mentioned something about layoffs. I guess the normal person, well, maybe normal is not the right word, but people would think, well, I can't control layoffs. So if they happen, they happen. But if I'm hearing you correctly, there should be some kind of policy or procedure laid out on how that's going to occur so people can't perhaps or be less likely to come back and say they were chosen for layoff inappropriately or something like that. And then you said employers can end up paying legal fees, and I didn't catch from what you were saying if that was something that always happens or something that could happen. So I know that's three kind of big things I threw at you all at once, but maybe you could expound on that just a little bit just so everybody's clear. Okay.
Well, the easiest one to start with is the defense side of it. In it would depend on the particular state, but the best thing I would tell you, just plan on if an employer is brought into a suit, and let's just say for further discussion here for discrimination. So let's just say it's for discrimination, and maybe in this particular case it's age discrimination. In that situation, even if the suit is brought and it's groundless, okay, there's no grounds for this suit, in some states, if the employer is brought into the suit, they pay for their own defense to prove that it was groundless. And at the end of the suit, it's found to be groundless, okay? The defense of the employee to bring that suit on the employer, that is also their expenditure as well, the employer's.
And I guess the logic for that being that the employee would be deemed less likely to bring an action even if it was warranted if they had that fear of cost.
That's exactly what an attorney tells me.
Okay.
You hit it right on the nail on the head. So that is their logic, that they don't want to prohibit or encourage the lack of people coming forward with respects to filing suits if they have to defend themselves. So yes,
the flip side of that is perhaps it encourages more than are warranted for the same reason, but I understand the logic for why they do it.
Yep, that's exactly why. So at the end of the day, as an example, the quote, let's see here, some numbers for you. At the end of 2011, The average cost of an employment practice lawsuit exceeds $270,000. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
It's not small.
Yeah.
So that's the average cost. So naturally, you might have some that's $50,000 or whatever, but by the time you add up the suits, you add up the defense cost, it adds up to a lot of money. So that was the end of 2011, and I would tell you that it's substantially been increasing. So going to your next question, and thank you for bringing that to back up for discussion, With respect to procedures, no, it was certainly not my intent to say or to encourage not to have them. I'm trying to encourage everyone to have them, no matter what size your company is, but yours may be more streamlined if it's a smaller company versus the larger company being more strict. But at the end of the day, you do need to have some practices in place. But my point being is don't have them in place and then not try to abide by them. So, you know, the encouragement would be to do it and then to try your darndest to follow them as a guideline.
Yeah, it would seem to me to make sense, too, that we being the surveyors, not necessarily being familiar, and as you said, particularly if we're small and we don't have human resources staff and all that, in writing them, it would seem to make a lot of sense to seek out some assistance and to make sure that the way they're structured doesn't portend something we don't want it to.
That's exactly right. You know, so, you know, at the end, you know, our online help services that is offered through the NSPS's online help, that is up to date. To the most current law changes, to the most current stipulations, depending on your state. So as an example, in California, it may be change of laws versus doing business in Nevada, as an example. So it is the most current, up-to-the-minute changes. And so those are certainly ones to use as a guideline to make sure what you are putting into place are correct for your state and what is required there. One of the things that I would tell you, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say real quickly, I guess it goes without saying that it's never too late. I mean, some people may think, well, I've been in business a long time, I haven't done this, it's just for new businesses, but I guess we all need to think about it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is you know, as anyone's doing it, I mean, this is a, you know, you hear about the New Year's resolutions all the time. You know, you have to kind of start somewhere. You know, I will tell you personally, when I started my own agency, who was I going to sue? Myself? You know, so that's kind of the mentality that I had. So that was really the last thing I thought about. But as you start to hire people and your business starts to grow, there's a big difference from 20 years ago versus today as well. So so at the end of the day, you got to start somewhere and you know, implement it, try your best to implement it, and then it will protect you in the end. And so, you know, basically, as they say from an employment practices, loss management or risk management side of the insurance world, you know, they indicate, you know, the most well-organized or credible employment documents demonstrates the treatment to ensure the employee the employee is being treated as best as possible from the employer to help you during that litigation if that ever comes to play. And so you know, as you go forward and you're implementing something, do something as simple as you know, here's how I'm going to try to recruit. Maybe I recruit my surveyors from colleges or newspapers, or I put an ad in you know, NSPS News or, you know, something to that effect. You just you implement, this is my normal process. Then when they come in, they fill out an employment application, no matter if you know the guy or Joe Blow referred the guy or the lady or whomever. You know, you do the exact same thing for every single person that's going to come to work for you. The exact same offer is provided for employment is provided to no matter who walks in the door. You know, when they come in and you're training them, you set up the same orientation process. And then, you know, once a year, 6 months, or whatever you want to do to say, okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to review how they do their work, and then we're going to document what we've discussed. And then, you know, going into that, the third question that you had referenced on layoffs, the termination, you know, the proper termination process, and then to have a, you know, that just basically rounds out the entire account. So, yes, to your point earlier about layoffs, it's, you know, it's uncontrollable sometimes that you have to do the layoffs. The point being is, how did you come up with the selection of the layoff? That's where you can find yourself into a discrimination suit.
Has there been, I know we only got about 3 minutes left before the break, but has there been more attention paid to that in the last few years? I mean, obviously when we all go into business, we're not thinking about laying anybody off. We're thinking about hiring people.
Yes.
And a lot of people ran businesses for many, many years without ever having that kind of an issue. So I was just curious if, with what happened in the economy in the last several years, has there been new or altered language to deal with how somebody writes in their manual how they're going to deal with layoffs, or is that just something that's timeless?
No, actually it has, and it's, and when you see the economy the way that it has, it's reached its peak. And so, you know, so they say, it has reached its peak, and most of the well, let's see, 36% of the suits have been based off of discrimination in those types of economy downswing. And so, you know, the close of 2012, there was 99,900 plus of nothing but discrimination suits filed. 99,000 of them. So that's a lot.
Definitely a lot.
That is a lot.
And were most of those were based on layoffs, I assume?
Yeah. Well, they don't have it based on, they just basically have it based on the downsizing of economy.
Okay.
They do have it based on various discriminations, with the highest being racial discrimination. The next largest being gender, and then it goes into age discrimination. So those three were the highest of the percentage of the discrimination suits.
Interesting stuff. Well, I know we're in the last minute before we're going to our next break, and I didn't, sorry if I got off topic too much, but I thought it would be good to maybe expound on those things just a little so everybody gets as much information as they can.
Yep, that's what it's all about. So, you know, after the break, we'll get into a few more items here about EPLI.
That sounds good. And we still got a few seconds before we have to go. And I know, just if anybody's tuned in since we started up, if we get to it today, we're going to talk about cyber liability near the end of the show. If we don't, then we're going to have another show, because this seems to be one of our most popular. So, just for anybody who wasn't listening when we first started out and thinking about what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to the break, and we'll be right back.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Quick Stakes. Does your survey supply dealer have Quick Stakes? If not, demand that they start carrying Quick Stakes. Did you know that Quick Stakes are better for your back than your local chiropractor? Lightweight and easier to use than the old heavy wooden stake. Order a sample today and prove it to yourself. Quick Steaks, your bike-friendly steak.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
As we normally do, Lisa, with the show, we come to this point where we test how well people are listening. And so we have our question of the day sponsored by Parker Davis Quick Stakes. And as our regular listeners know, they email in to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com the answer which Lisa is going to supply to the question I'm going to ask, and the first person to respond and be recorded as having done so will be our winner for the day. So since we're having this topic, maybe again you could explain what the acronym EPLI stands for.
It would stand for Employment Practices Liability Insurance.
There we go, Employment Practices Liability Insurance, something we should all know about, but perhaps we don't, and maybe that's a good place to pick up for your next segment.
Yeah, well, you know, that you're absolutely right. Most people haven't even heard of it, or if they have, you know, they feel that, you know, it belongs to the bigger guy or the other guy, something, you know, to that effect. But in as the employment practices lawsuits are growing, they're actually hitting the employers of all sizes and really focusing a lot on the smaller than 25 employees and including home-based businesses. So it really is an exposure that's hitting all of us out there, and it may not, you know, be something with respects to, say, internal job postings, as an example, because that's going to be more to a larger firm, but it certainly would be from a gender discrimination, a wrongful termination, age discrimination, or even, harassment, sexual harassment, whereas this is anything from offensive remarks that someone fails to stop after they bring it to their attention that they are in an uncomfortable situation. This is something that can come back 2 or even 3 years later to say, you made me feel uncomfortable. So at the end of the day, it is certainly something that's real live and happening out there, and it is certainly something that's insurable. And one of the things that I would say is, of course, it's insurable, right? And that's all you need to do is spend more money to pay for premium. But it is actually getting very affordable to cover the defense costs and to have that safe keep should you need it if a claim arises. And with these potential claims and the average cost that we mentioned earlier of, you know, in excess of $250,000, it's certainly something that it may be a livable expense that you just put into your budget for the next year or 2 years down the road to pick up some employment practices liability insurance. And
on the harassment part of it,
and
well, even the discrimination part of it, for that matter, in companies that are not one sole proprietor who basically is everybody's boss, I'm assuming that obviously if that occurs, the company still gets sued, even though it's not the principal necessarily who's creating the act. So, again, I'm just thinking of procedures one uses to deal with that, because, I mean, I can see a situation where either in harassment or discrimination that's occurring, particularly in a survey situation, away from the office, so to speak.
Right. Right.
And
well,
so it, I guess policies have to be written to deal with those things once they're brought to light.
Right. Well, and actually, you know, brought to light is really the key there, because if you sometimes when you're in such a small environment, you don't really know how do I bring it to light. So to your point, maybe you've got three or four people and you've got a couple of people out in the field, and a person becomes offended in one fashion or the other. I mean, it can be something as simple, you know, as making a compliment in today's world can be taken out the wrong way. So at the end of the day, how do you internally deal with your own employees to where you provide them a safe way of coming back to acknowledge that they were not uncomfortable or that they were uncomfortable? If they bring that to light, you've got to deal with it. So at the end of the day, you know, is that, you know, my door is always open and let me know it in person, or do you have a box put into your office to where, you know, they can drop you a note to where you know that somebody feels uncomfortable or needs to talk to you, or in today's world, send me an email to say, hey, I need to discuss something with you. You know, something occurred that makes me feel uncomfortable. But you have to have some way of getting the message to the employee that if there is a situation that comes to play and they feel uncomfortable about something, they have a way of getting it back to whomever it might be, even if you're the, you know, the dishwasher, the runner of the office, and, you know, the lead surveyor. So, you know, at the end of the day, you have to have a way of them getting back that information to you, the person that runs the business.
And obviously that needs to be in your manual.
Absolutely. It should be in your manual, and it should be communicated to those employees.
Another question that came to mind when you were talking about the volume. Is there – this is coming from an old guy, of course. It came into this in a different era. But just from the expectation side, you know, not necessarily in the things we've just been talking about, just from – what the expectation of the company is, what the expectation of the employee is, and then you come to these loggerheads, so to speak. Is there any evidence that with where we are generationally, that the difference in expectations today have anything to do with these kind of things? And what I'm doing, I'm thinking back 50 years where I was just happy to get a job.
Right.
And I know people have different expectations today, and perhaps rightfully so. I was just curious if there was any evidence that came up at all.
Yeah, you know, what they don't specifically state that, but what they do state is really that. because, you know, at the end of the day, they indicate that job descriptions, the clarification of what their duties are, the expectation of that specific job task needs to be outlined, whereas just like you, Kurt, I mean, I was happy to get a job, you know, if that meant, you know, I wash the dishes, if that means I do this or that. It wasn't specifically listed on my job description. I just did it. Whereas in today's world, oftentimes you don't find that. It's a different It's the expectations of the jobs are different today, to where, or the positions, if you will. They don't even want to call it a job because it's more of their position. But at the end of the day, you do have that, so therefore, you know, maybe you have a situation to where you have the discrimination comes up because it wasn't on the job description, but you asked them to do so-and-so, and they feel offended by that because it was something maybe a man should have, you know, you have a person that's more of a male gender situation to lift a box, as an example, versus not, you know, I just did it the other day. You know, I go downstairs and ask one of my male employees to help me put the surveyor's convention booth in the back of my truck. And I didn't go down and ask the female person to do it. I asked the male person to do it. So that's what I'm saying. It's an everyday common occurrence that if someone was offended by that, I could find myself right in the courthouse just like anybody else could.
Yeah, I guess I think the reason I brought it up was exactly what you're just talking about from a generational perspective, and the point being that however far down the line in terms of age my generation goes, and it's more of an attitude than it is age, perhaps, but just the fact that you have to be aware of that, and sometimes I'm not sure we are. That's the point I was trying to make, that you, you as the employer or the person and whoever's creating the rules needs to be aware of that situation, not make assumptions that the way they thought 50 years ago was the way things are today.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, I say repeatedly, how unfortunate it is that everything has come down to, you kind of look at someone cross-eyed, and basically you could get brought into a suit somewhere for some reason. And, it is a situation to whatever the reasoning, or maybe economy, life in general, stress in general, you know, needing a job, you know, so on and so forth, has brought us to where this coverage even existed, quite frankly, because up until a few years ago, the coverage wasn't even there. You found yourself totally bare. But then now you have people that, you can sit and watch TV and see the attorneys that's encouraging the suits that's being brought, and that's where the coverage comes into play. People were being closing their doors based on either some form of an employment related suit, and most people can't tolerate that type of expenditure because of it. So, something as simple as in the internet world that we are in. One of the things is coming to light is the internet and the offensive stuff that comes across the internet, and a person is offended, or a joke that's goes blasting through emails or whatever, and they've taken that wrong or poorly, and they're offended by it. So that internet usage has made it real life, and minute by minute that people can be offended, and then you find yourself being responsible for it because it's done through the work environment or even from an outside source, a third party.
Right. Well, we're about to go to the next break here, and we'll come back. I guess the one thing I want to say before we go is that none of the things we're talking about implies that people shouldn't have their rights. They should. What we're saying is, as employers and supervisors, we need to be aware of all of those things that are going on and make sure we do the right things. So,
just being prepared. That's really what it's all about.
We need to take a break.
Being prepared.
Attention, surveyors. Are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Quick Stakes. Does your survey supply dealer have Quick Stakes? If not, demand that they start carrying Quick Stakes. Did you know that Quick Stakes are better for your back than your local chiropractor? Lightweight and easier to use than the old heavy wooden stake. Order a sample today and prove it to yourself. Quick Stakes, your back-friendly stake.
Schonstedt locators are saving lives in some of the world's most mine-infested countries. Find out how you can help at nsps.us.com.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Back for our last segment today, talking about employment practices liability insurance. Lisa and I were just talking during the break. We're going to put something together, basically, I should say, so Lisa doesn't sue me for bad business practices. Lisa's going to put something together. And we're going to put it in the newsletter to help folks kind of focus on this and maybe give some links and that kind of thing where people can learn about that. And we were also talking at the break about archives. I know we have the archives up for each show for some period of time at the radio station, and I'll have to talk with Trish about what we have on downloads, because sometimes it is good to be able to have a place for people to go back if they're looking for something over a long period of time. But one of the things that we began to talk about a little bit, or at least you and I did, Lisa, was obviously this is an employment environment situation, but it's, if I understand you correctly, it's not necessarily exclusive to that.
No, actually, employment practices liability started off with being just, the employer-employee relationship. However, over the years, it has developed into an extension thereof. And what I mean by that is you have an employment practices liability policy, but there is an endorsement that's actually added to that same employment practices policy, but you have to make sure it's covered or added. But there is also a coverage that's called third-party employment practices liability. And as respects to a surveyor, this is more pertaining to the employer that would be sued or feel uncomfortable or being a suit brought against not only a current employee, but the employer themselves or a former employee by one of your clients. So as an example, that's where the third party comes from, is this is coverage that will leave you, the land surveyor or the employer, vulnerable to any type of discrimination or harassment lawsuit that's being brought to you by a customer, maybe a client, a vendor, a supplier, that they are offended or have been discriminated against because maybe you buy equipment from this one person, but you didn't buy it from this other person because you prefer the age or the gender of that person versus the other. I mean, it gets pretty crazy out there with respect of what can be brought back. And one of the things that was brought up in a risk management seminar that I went to not too long ago was a receptionist at the front desk of a surveying company, and it was the UPS person. So a male person had brought in a package, and the person kept kind of like flirting with them to the point that the postage person came back and said, it's being so offensive, and they're making gestures and so on and so forth, and it came back to the employer that, hey, you need to control your front desk employee because they're making assertive comments to, this particular person. And so at the end of the day, that's where that coverage comes back, and where you would find it is under third-party liability. The same would go is say, for example, you know, God forbid, but somebody goes on to someone's property to do an ILC, and maybe they make a comment to the property owner, or the client that you're doing business with, or maybe the person in which lives at the resident. Maybe they make a comment, or maybe harasses that person. That's where that comes back into play, and that's where the coverage would be found, is under third party employment liability. And it's simply an endorsement to cover not only your employees, but to cover your expenditures for someone else's employee that would be offended by one of your employees.
When you're talking about, I was just thinking about the fact that it seems to me it'd be virtually impossible to write a manual or a procedure or a practices or whatever the case may be that would be good enough to address those kind of situations. Because regardless of what you have written, if it happens, it happens, right?
Yeah, the third party is really one that is so out of your control oftentimes. It's everything. The discrimination is really coming into play on the third parties. That is everything from, you know, race discrimination down to, you know, the sexual orientation anymore. That's really it. You know, you've got the race, the religion, the sex, the age, the national origin, the disability, the pregnancy, the sexual orientation. Those are the top leading discrimination suits from a third-party perspective. From the harassment, that's typically the two areas that you're going to come into play, is the discrimination and the harassment on third-party. And it's basically, the top three on the harassment is unwanted sexual advances to an outside party, verbal and physical actions that causes an offensive work environment or a hostile work environment. So that could be everything from customers that you're working with, clients that you've worked with, you know, various people. And then unwanted sexual favors. those are the top three that have led to third-party EPLI suits over the past, that was the end of 2012. And to your point, naturally that's something that an employer has very little control over the behavior that's going on when they're not present. And so it is very common to see those types of suits that come back to large and small companies, that the employees do something, the employer is totally unaware of it until they get, you know, a phone call or a letter in the mail. So
I don't know if we've covered
everything.
Are you
in shock?
Yeah, I am. As you were talking there, I was thinking about the age part, you know, with getting up to an advanced age. Maybe that's an advantage I have now that I didn't have before. I can have that to fall back on, but just kind of jokingly. But this is a really serious matter with regard to all of the things that we've been talking about here. I mean, it's just so overwhelming. I've been feverishly taking notes as we've been talking, but just the enormity of the possibilities and the enormity of the responsibilities is just so hard to grasp, I think, just in conversation. So I think this thing we're talking about, maybe putting something in the newsletter, can be helpful to people. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll get questions as we go along from this. But it's just, as I said, it's almost overwhelming to think about the different possibilities that are out there, and the fact that sometimes there's little you can do to try to deal with them ahead of time.
Right. You know, at the end of the day, you know what you need to do, and as a company, number one, be aware of what what is out there, what is occurring, and if you're aware of something, then you can try to prepare for something, right? So there are only things that you can control in life and things that you can't. And so if you can implement some form of procedures or processes to help mitigate or control some of those losses that may develop or bring you into a lawsuit, that is the only thing you can do from a trying to prepare yourself. It is reality. You know, with the employment laws out there, and they you know, they really vary depending on the jurisdiction out from state to state, just to be as prepared as possible. If you have a company and if you're running a company, to how to prepare for this, how can I implement something to help me if I'm brought into a suit by my employees, how and what would I have to defend myself? If you have nothing, guess what? You have nothing to defend yourself with. And so if you don't have an employment application that you've put together or picked up as a legalized form, because they have those out there. I mean, $20 at an Office Depot or Staples, and you can pick up forms. You can typically do them online for the most common applications necessary. But there are things such as that when you're terminating an employee, to have an exiting interview of that process. Everybody's on the same page. They sign that they understand. They sign that they don't. Whatever, to where you have that documentation in place. And then at the end of the day, you know, you're asking yourself, what happens if one of my customers sues me for discrimination? Where am I covered? You know, I would say if that question goes out to most surveyors, and they would say, well, you know, that's I'm doing something under my professional acts, so it must be covered under my professional liability. That would be kind of your first thing, I would think. But in that situation, it excludes any type of discrimination or employment-related, employer-related discrimination or harassment suits. There's an exclusion for that. So.
As always is the case, Lisa, we run out of time too soon.
Yep.
And we only have about a minute left, so I want to make sure that people know how to find you. So if you can remind people
okay.
how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You can phone me anytime. You can actually go to the NSPS website, and there's a link on there to the insurance program. Or I can be reached at 888-454-9562. Again, this is Lisa Isom with the NSPS Insurance Program, and feel free to give me a call if you have any questions, or I can help you out any further on any type of insurance that you need.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to we may have some to pick up on this one coming back, but I'm looking forward to next time when we talk about the cyber liability. That's
you're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.